Cool. Wow, that's loud. So we want to welcome you all here, and very grateful that you decided to come out. This is the first time that we've ever done Making Jesus Known in New Jersey. And so we're kind of excited about that. Our friend and ministry partner, George Saig, heads up that ministry. He's got a wonderful webpage called ministrytomuslims.com. It is loaded with information, and you might want to take advantage of that. But I'm really thankful to Tim. Where'd he go? There he is. I thought you got raptured for a minute. We've been good friends, gosh, since about 2008 or so. I don't know, maybe before. Yeah, it was earlier, yeah. Anyway, he's opened up his house to us, or the Lord's house, and we're grateful for that as well. If you have any questions about the facilities, please speak to Tim. I've gotten lost 3 times this morning already, but it's good. And let's see. So there isn't going to be a whole lot today in the morning. Most of the teaching will be tomorrow morning and then Saturday. And there was a picture up there. You probably saw the flyer. All these guys up there, with the exception of me, okay, they are brilliant, okay, and they love the Lord. They know how to. They're evangelists. I'm a pastor, you know, and somebody told me one time, your job is to feed the sheep, and the sheep will beget sheep, you know, if they're fed well. But I love Muslims, I really do, and I feel sorry for them. I'm gonna put it out to you. I hate Islam with a passion. It's horrible. It's a misogynistic death cult political system with a religious veneer. And trust me, I've lived among them almost 6 years in Cairo when I was young and handsome, and then 7 years in Bahrain in the Gulf. And most of the Muslims that you're going to meet are really nice people. They really do. They're good people. They care about the same kind of values that we as Christians have. You know, they want to have a good family, a good marriage. They want to see their kids go to school, and they don't want to cause trouble. But there are those that get most of the press, and the Lord will lead you to who you need to talk to. Let's put it that way. But I'd be careful with those other ones. A whole lot going on this week. Did George leave any schedule or anything, printed matter? This is a Holy Spirit week. Okay, where the wind blows is where we go. And so we're going to do that. But I want to start out with a word of prayer, okay? Father God, we love you so much. Oh, how good you've been to us, Lord. You know, I imagine we all slept in a clean bed last night. We're all here with good health. We're given food, friends. And above all else, Lord, we have the assurance of salvation that should this, in fact, be our last day here on this planet, we're going to open our eyes and see you. So, Lord, we're grateful for that assurance. Not anything we ever did, not because we came to a conference or any of that, but because you loved us so much that you gave your life for us. So many on this planet don't know that, Lord, as you're aware. So many of our Muslim neighbors, friends, co-workers, they need you, Lord. So I pray that you'll give us, our speakers, our teachers, clarity in teaching us how to reach them, and you would give us understanding. We want the wisdom from above, the wisdom that changed the world. And changes the world for someone every day. So we look forward to that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm 122, just going to give you one verse here. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad today to be in the house of the Lord? I was looking at that, meditating on it a little bit the other day. And, you know, when they use the word house of, it doesn't mean just a building, okay? In this case, David was the king, and if you read on about him, you'll hear the phrase House of David or House of Joseph or that sort of thing. So it's used for lineage, for a dynasty, for, you know, royal families. The Bible often uses that phrase, house of. And one place it does is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 16. Now I'm going to read from an ESV. I hope that doesn't traumatize anybody. But, anyway, it says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. He shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. So obviously, you know, God is talking to David here about, you know, being a king and that sort of thing. But most scholars, if you will, interpret this as a messianic passage. Okay, this is talking about the kingdom of Jesus and the house of Jesus, if you will, the lineage of Jesus. And, you know, don't get put off by the discipline thing. Jesus never sinned. We know that. But, you know, when he went to the cross, I was there with him. My sins were there. Your sins were there. You know, that was the iniquity that he took on. And here we talk about the lineage of Jesus. And I just love it. Listen to the sweet promise in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of women, a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. We are in the house of Jesus, okay? We are in the lineage of Jesus. We are heirs to the kingdom. We are sons of God. And when you talk to Muslims, they don't like to talk about, oh, God has no sons. How can you say you're a son of God, you know? Well, because of Jesus, okay? Our lineage is in him. We're not slaves. Muslims are slaves to God, okay? They talk about that. In fact, Islam is an Arabic word meaning submission to God. Okay, God's not their friend. Okay, he's someone you submit to. It's a slave, and Jesus said, "You're not slaves. I've called you friend." You know, God loves us. They have no concept of God loving people like you and me. I once took a class of students in Atlantic City. We were at a church, and we went to a mosque in Atlantic City, and we interviewed the imam, you know, we had a nice little chat, and one dear saint, this lady, she said to him, I have a question. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And he looked at her and said, I don't know. She was surprised. They were all surprised, you know. You don't know? He goes, no, I don't know. She said, how long have you been an imam? You know, the imam, the leader of the mosque. How long have you been? 37 years. He said, but you know, I may have lived a really, really good life, but maybe there was a sin I committed and God just never forgave me for it. If you know the concept of getting into paradise for a Muslim, you know, there's a cavern or chasm, I would say, and there's like a sword over that chasm. And once they die, they have to walk across that. And God, he's so capricious, is that the word? They have a word for him called makker, and it means that he's the best jokester. You can't pull one over on him because he's the one pulls one over on everybody. So as you're tiptoeing across the edge of the sword, hoping to get into paralyzed, if he feels like it, he can just go and blow you into the abyss. How do you sleep at night with that? Okay? I mean, I'm walking with the Lord 51 years, and I can tell you I'm a sinner. If you don't believe me, call my wife, okay? She'll tell you. But I know that if I die today, I'm going to open my eyes and see that burly carpenter, and he's going to grab me and say, "Well done, good and faithful." I live for that. I hope you do as well. The Muslims don't have what we call blessed assurance, and that makes me sad. You know, as Christians, it's, you know, it's beat into us in a way from sermon after sermon that, you know, we get to heaven because of God's grace, because of His love for us. Now, we can't earn it. That doesn't mean we don't try to behave ourselves. I hope you all behave yourselves, you know. We do our best. But we know we're going to heaven because of what Jesus has done. They don't know that. They really don't. We're His sons through faith in Christ. And there's more. Peter described believers as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And as such, we're called to do something. We're called to declare the glories of God. You know, we've been given something wonderful, and it's not for ours to hide and keep. You know, you've heard the parables about the pearls and all that, and, you know, and the guys that were given money, and the one guy said, "Oh, I knew you were a rough master, so I buried mine," you know, didn't make any interest, didn't buy any Bitcoin, you know, nothing like that. He didn't save us and end the story there. You know, He said, "If you're enjoying this, guess what? I got other people out there that need to hear this as well." So that's why we're here today, because we love the Muslims and we want to give them a chance to hear the gospel. So it's interesting, this phrase, "in the house of." In Islamic culture, it appears in a different context. The most time you'll hear it, and like I said, I've lived in the Arab world, and I pick up a lot of Arabic, and they'll say, they talk about the mosque as the Bayt Allah. The Bayt is the house, so the mosque is the house of Allah. You know what I mean when I say the Kaaba? You're familiar with that black shrouded thing in Saudi Arabia? That's also called Bayt Allah. And they also have another phrase, Dar al-Islam. Dar is like, well, they used to use it, they still do, for monasteries and stuff. So it's like a religious connotation to the abode of, and they talk about Dar al-Islam, or the abode of Islam, the house of Islam. And wherever Muslims have conquered, and trust me, you know, they've been doing this since the beginning, you know, fighting, killing, raping, stealing along the way, bullying people to become converts. Wherever they've gone, that now becomes the house of Islam. That's wherever Sharia is practiced. There's a disturbing use of something I just mentioned, Dar al-Harb, the house of war. And that's what jihad and all the fighting, that's what's Iran and all this stuff we're going through right now. With them, they talk about that a lot. You could say Dar al-Islam is here in New Jersey now. You know, somebody said to me, why are you going to New Jersey? I thought you do your ministry in the Middle East, which I do as often as I can. But then I pointed out to them that New Jersey has the third largest Muslim population of any of the 50 states. They're here. That's why I love to come up and teach at the church here with Tim, because he always takes me to a great Arab restaurant afterwards, you know. We don't get that in South Jersey, you know. We're still doing hot dogs and stuff. But I've lived among them for 14 years, actually living there, and then I go in and out, and I really like them. They're not so bad. My wife worked in a public school in Bahrain. It was kind of more a private school, they had to pay. It was all Muslim kids, and yet they liked to bring in Western teachers. So she was a grandma when we went over to Bahrain, and that was a big step of faith for her. Boy, she didn't like it. I remember saying to her, "But honey, we prayed, and we said, well, this is the will of God, you know." And she says, "Well, just because it's the will of God doesn't mean I have to like it." Can you identify with that? He tells us to do some things we just don't like, okay? But she went, and she loved it, and she became a kindergarten teacher. I said, well, you used to be a high school teacher. She goes, yeah, but these little ones, they fill my love tank, you know? And she would sit them on the rug, and they'd have story time. And one day she was reading a story about a princess, and this little girl said, Miss Sue, I'm a princess. And she said, oh, that's nice. All daddies think their little girl's a princess. She goes, oh, no, Miss Sue, I'm a real princess. And here was the king's granddaughter in her class. They were funny. One day she had a story about what would you give your friend if you could give him a gift. And one guy said, like a Lamborghini and stuff. These were rich people, you know. They had all that oil money. But I asked her early on, I said, why'd you go there? There was a Christian school she could have taught in. I said, why'd you go there? She said, well, we know that when these kids get older, there may very well be somebody come along and tell them that you need to hate anybody that's not a Muslim. Even a Muslim not like you, you know, the Sunni and Shia, they hate each other, you know. She said, I want, when that happens for these kids, when they grow up and somebody says you should hate Christians, she said, I want them to remember Miss Sue and the love she had in her heart for those kids. In fact, I was interviewed one time when ISIS was doing their stuff. The TV channel wanted us to go on TV and say ISIS was not Islam, you know, which I couldn't do, you know, because they are, you know. I said, come on, give us a break. I'm an American. We see a picture of a guy with a knife to somebody's throat saying, Allahu Akbar. I said, we think it's a Muslim. It is, you know. They got all upset. Anyway, after the interview, the gal that was interviewing me, she said, your name, she says, are you related to Miss Sue? Now, I think I'm a pretty cool guy. Like, you know, the focus should be on me, right? Oh, yeah, I'm the husband of Miss Sue. But she said, my son wants to marry her. I said, well, you tell that little shaver she's already taken. Okay. But this is the thing. Why am I telling you all this? Because she was not allowed to evangelize. They let her have a prayer meeting before class, not with the kids, but any of the teachers that wanted to come in. She could pray with them to get the day started. But here's the deal. Love wins the day. It's love. If we just fear them, we're not going to talk to them, you know. We might even want to join the other crowd that with the bullets. And I want to tell you, it's either bullets or Bibles. And I think when you give your heart to Christ, we got to use the Bibles, okay? Love wins the day. You're going to hear a lot if you stick with us through Saturday. You're going to hear some really highfalutin stuff, okay? I guess that's why they put me up here first, okay? Get the simple out of the way. But here's my theology. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I feel it in my heart. I know he loves me. And if he loves me, I was a drug addict. I came home from Vietnam, addicted to drugs, hating everybody. I'd just as soon smack you as talk to you. But Jesus got a hold of my heart because I was empty. And he filled me, gave me a new life. So having that, I'm compelled to love them. If you have studied your Bible, and that's hard. Let me tell you something. I said that shortly after 9-1-1, and a guy came up to me in tears. And he said, I hate him. You're up there telling me I love him. He said, my brother died in 9-1-1. I get that. It's painful. And I told him, well, you go ahead and hate him, you know. But just remember, God loves you and God loves them. You'll work it out. Now, I never saw the guy again. I hope he did work it out. But we're not called to hate. We're called to love. And it's not always easy. Not always easy. And we're going to give you an opportunity to see that. We're going to take you out if you'd like to join us and talk to some Muslims. And they're not all going to like you. That's okay. I got people that don't like me. I don't know why, but they do. So people need to be loved. And in cross-cultural ministry especially, but, you know, in all ministry, what's that saying? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. So my thing is get to know them, be a friend. I will say from the get-go, ladies, minister to ladies. The culture's weird. It's all about sex as well and power. And if you approach a Muslim man, he might think you got something else on your mind. Okay? No offense. But and men to men. I mean, that's just the way we roll. It's safer that way. But they need to hear the truth about Jesus. And you know that. That's why you're here. And I'm really grateful that you're here. There's more people coming along the way, but it isn't about numbers. It's about the Spirit of God. So glad you're here. Glad that you're in the house of the Messiah. Okay, we're in his lineage. We're priests. We're ambassadors. And it's fun. If nothing else, you can't start hanging out with Arabs, you're going to eat good. Okay. But it's about making friends. And I would like to encourage you to keep that in mind. Now, you're going to hear people that some of these guys, my friend Olin's in the front row. And where's Stanley over there? They know they can walk up to somebody and get a conversation going about, you know, spiritual things like that, you know. And that's wonderful. We need that. And you're going to learn how to do that. Maybe that's the way you roll. I'm a little slower, I guess, because I'm from South Jersey, no offense. But, you know, Southerners, you know, we're all the same. So, anyway, that's one of my goals, is that you won't fear them. They're just people, you know, and people that need a Savior. So that's a goal here, not to fear them. Another goal is that you would get a little bit of training on how to talk to them. I was just telling somebody this morning, you know, if you reach out to your American neighbor, it may take you 2 years to convince them there's even a God. But when you're talking with Muslims, they want to talk about Jesus right away. It's amazing. So that's a good thing. And I also hope you'll get to know each other and network a little bit. You know, it's not a solo game here. You know, it's not one person going out. Jesus always sent them out by twos. It's good to have a friend while one's talking, probably the pastor, because they never stop talking. While one's talking, the other one can be praying. You know, that's a good thing. Pray a lot. So with that, I'd like to just take a couple minutes and meet you guys, okay? Tell me who you are, and do you have a ministry among Muslims, and do you have any Muslim friends? Can we do that? How about you, huh? No, that might take too long. If it's there's not many of us here. How about you, sir?
I'm Pastor Tim. I've met most of you, just about all of you. I'm a pastor here at Calvary Chapel in North Jersey, and I'm around Muslims a lot. The most interaction I have is at the restaurant that I take you to.
Mm-hmm.
And my testimony would be that I've never had a bad experience ministering or sharing with a Muslim. I'd like it to keep.
Keep it that way. Yeah.
I think they're wonderful people, and I like to get somebody from the place where they maybe don't know or trust Christians to the place where they think we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, you know, it's the Holy Spirit's work, but all I can say is, you know, I do interact a lot, and I think they kind of like my wife and I. We have a couple of different restaurants we go to where the people are very happy to see us.
It's probably the nice tip you leave.
But. That too.
How about you, dear?
I'm originally from New York, from Temple Church, but now I go to Abundant Grace up here since Pastor David Anderson passed away a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in Jewish ministry on the other side of the spectrum.
Okay.
And now the Lord is putting me on this side of the spectrum. And the Lord opened an opportunity for me to be with a pastor and his wife from Pakistan. I got involved with the Brooklyn Villagers, and I am now helping them to do the food ministry every other month in order to feed the Brooklyns. I don't know if you know the Brooklyn Villagers in Pakistan.
I'm a dumb guy from South Jersey.
So. 1,500 camps in Pakistan.
Nice.
It's like a construction company, and a lot of the third-class citizens that are Christians, they're like slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the bricks,
yeah.
You know, from
I got you.
So a lot of them do not have any food and they're in debt up to their eyeballs.
Yep.
They don't have any education, they're illiterate. So the Lord put a hunger and thirst in my heart to help minister.
Nice.
From North Jersey here, had an open house with another ministry. I think it's Muslims for Jews, or
Jews for Jesus.
Jews for Muslims. There's another
group. Okay. He'll be here tomorrow.
He's in South Jersey.
No, he's in Old Bridge.
But he's very informative, and I've learned quite a bit from him, and I was floored.
Okay. I'm gonna be really rude and interrupt you now, okay, because I got to meet all these people. But just so you know about the side thing, we always say every Muslim that gives their heart to Jesus is one less rifle aimed at a Jew. In the Middle East. So your sides, yeah, they are. They really are. How about you, brother?
My name is Anthony.
Anthony.
I'm a really interesting about the English. I'm not a fan of the IAS expert, but he's doing this to my history. You do that sometimes, you go outside the streets and through the flag center sometimes.
Great. Thank you, Anthony. It'd be great if the whole church had that passion one day. You, brother? Yeah. Hope you do learn. Moving back, ma'am.
My name is Julie, and I'm a nurse. And when we get up here, Lord, I used to work in New York City a lot. I had a lot of Jewish patients, and I'm from the Midwest. I never met a Jew, never met a Muslim. Growing up on a farm, but the Lord just called me to New York, and I worked as a nurse, and I started, really studying Brother Jonathan Cotton, a lot of.
Yeah. It doesn't take much, Julie, really, to love a little bit and they get overwhelmed because so many hate them here and ignore them and, you know, put them down. Okay. Sir? Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Another South Jersey guy. We're taking over the neighborhood. This is great. So you're here to learn, Bill, and okay. Great. Sir?
Hey, Dan. Hi, guys. I'm Patrick from Hackensack. I don't have any ministry tools or anything like that. It's been a while since I've attended a conference, whether it's something like this or evolution or whatnot. So I come to sharpen the axe.
There you go. Cool. Now we're going to go to the right side. Okay. We'll start in the back. Sir? Yes, it is.
Promotion City, Waymark Church.
Yep.
And Pastor Denny and I met probably a couple months ago. A friend from a friend. And he actually invited me here. So crazy how time flies. He handed me a flyer and he said, no, yes. Yes, it does. And I just have, I think I have a heart to minister to Muslims. We have, I work at a church. We have an outreach ministry for Lane City.
Okay. Well, you went to Atlantic City the other day to share the gospel. In my book, you're a missionary already, but that, sir? Yes. Yes, you. Yeah. The good looking one. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one goal I have is to help people. Because some of these guys, they're like way up here. Like, you know, that picture, I respect every one of them. They're so smart, you know, and it's interesting. But I need to know how to say hi, you know, how to get it started. And that seems to be the number one question. Olin, you and I were talking about, you said one of the number one questions he gets when he goes to different churches. So hopefully we'll get that out there. Okay. And you, sir. Well, if you go out with us today, hang around these guys, okay? And listen. Yeah, it's amazing. How about you, dear? Uh-huh. I know you, but you talk anyway. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Joe Nigro. I'm from Hawthorne, New Jersey. And most of the Muslims I actually ministered to was in India. I would go to a place called Hyderabad. And we see that as willing to be ministered to, be talked to. I used to sponsor a program that they broke up, but not a school program that took all the kids and for after school and they had better grades and then and it was a Christian church that did it, so they would read the Bible with them. The Muslim there were several Muslim kids in there, all Hindu kids and Christian kids, but most of the kids were either Muslim or Hindus in that part of India, and the parents would come and give us the desserts when we came to visit and thank us for taking care of their kids. And the kids would come up to us, and they're covered with the Muslim thing, and wanted the pictures with us because they knew we loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was the most important aspect of reaching out to the Muslims.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and kids, they're big on kids. They really do love their kids so much. There was a couple I met in, I think it was Brooklyn or Manhattan. There's some park in New York City. They had little kids, and so they'd go to the park, and their kids would start playing with other kids because kids don't know all these barriers we have, you know. And then they'd go over to the parents and say, isn't that something? Our kids are playing together. Isn't that nice? And then that's how they broke through, you know, with the children. So, yeah, it works. How about you, dear?
My name is Sky. I live in Brooklyn. I live in a predominantly Caribbean community, but it's growing in the Eastern population in the neighborhood. But what I mean is that churches in particular don't really engage with them.
Right. Yeah, that is a goal here. Network. See what people are doing. Learn something. How about you, dear?
Hi, ditto.
Ditto.
My name is Ayana. Good morning, everyone. I'm from Brooklyn as well. No ministry for the Muslims.
Yet.
Yes. Come on.
Sorry, I just couldn't help it. Yeah. Wonderful. You, sir.
My name is Samuel Giles. This is my lovely wife. Same thing in Brooklyn. My introduction to heart to ministry to the Muslims actually started talking with my dad, who was a Gulf War veteran, and talking about the different nuances of being in Doha in Qatar and then going over to Bahrain.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's fasting of the tenet of the faith. And I was like, it's one of the principles that we follow, growing closer to the Lord, you know, crucifying the flesh, and I opened up a discussion. And he said, you know what? I'm going to start reading my Bible and reading the Quran.
Nice. Yeah.
And so that was my introduction of how living a life before Christ had an impact on a Muslim. So since then, I've just been intrigued, you know, here to learn, to grow.
Yeah.
As well, hearing Dr. Stanley just serve something else.
Yeah. Real quickly, they eat more food during Ramadan than any other month, okay? And don't you get in the way when the sun goes down. I'm telling you, they knocked my kids on the floor one night. I made a mistake going to a restaurant during Ramadan. I thought, oh, I forgot it's Ramadan. My kids went up to get food. They literally knocked them out of the way, you know, but I guess they were hungry. But fasting, Ramadan's a great time to share the gospel with your friends if they are fasting. And we like to take them to Isaiah 53, God's perfect fast. And what is that all about, you know? So good stuff. You, dear? Good. All right. Well,
to, you know, go from love to also sharing in love more specifically. My mom was talking, you can love somebody, you know, straight to hell if you just only love and never use words. You
okay.
Know? I guess.
All right.
I just want to use the right ones.
Well, hopefully that's what you're going to get this weekend. How about you, dear? Great. Wonderful. You two guys want to come up here and share a little bit? Now, I mentioned George's website to you, ministrytomuslims.com. You want to avail to that. And my friend Olin also has a wonderful ministry and radicaltruth.org or com.
.net.
.net.
That's right. Yeah.
You had to be difficult, didn't you?
Well, good morning, everyone. As you heard, my name is Olin Giles, and I work with a ministry called Radical Truth, radicaltruth.net. By the way, brother, how do you spell your last name? G-I-L-E. This is my brother from another mother right here. I didn't see that one coming. But I'm just so excited to be here. I go into churches quite often, and I tell people, if I had $1 million in my bank account, I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. Folks, the 1040 window is practically on the doorsteps of the church here in America. Thank God for people who are going overseas. We should be going, right? God's called us to go to the ends of the earth. But I want you to understand what God is doing right now here in America. He's bringing people to us. And as you've heard, Islam is such a difficult belief system because they want to take advantage of our love, I think, to a certain extent. But if we do love them, we're going to share the gospel with them. Somebody very quickly tell me, what is the gospel? You know, this is something that I do in churches quite often. If you don't know what the gospel is, you cannot share it, right? What is the gospel? Anybody? Okay, it's the good news. The Greek word is euangelion. It means good news. But what is the good news?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. That's the good way to sum it up, and I often make 3 points. This is the message that we're called to communicate. The deity of Christ, the substitutionary death of Christ, and the victorious resurrection of Christ. That's our message. And folks, if you go out with us today, you're going to find Muslims who want to talk about Jesus. Islam says that Jesus is a Messiah. He's born of a virgin. He performed miracles, including raising the dead. But guess what? What do they reject? They reject what really matters, the deity, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have to, I don't know how much time I have, but I'll wrap this up. We have to deconstruct Islam, what I would call pre-evangelism. You're gonna encounter these objections. And by the way, it's very, very easy to talk with a Muslim. You will just not have trouble. How do you start a conversation with a Muslim? One simple question. What do you think about Jesus? And I can assure you, you will be there for hours. If you want to. I mean, I've stood in the drizzling rain and talked to Muslims for hours. And that's how I started the conversation. But you better know what you believe about Jesus. You better be ready to defend the deity of Christ, His substitutionary death, and His resurrection. That's what you're going to encounter. If that scares you a little bit, I think we need to learn how to ask good questions. You know, Jesus asked over 300 questions. Often He responded to a question with a question. Right? I mean, questions keep you in control of the conversation, and we want to move the conversation towards the gospel. That's our goal. We want to deconstruct Islam, share the gospel. Start out with a question, what do you think about Jesus? If they use terminology that perhaps you're familiar with, or, you know, if you read the Quran, you're going to find words like God, Jesus, sin, salvation, Injil, or gospel. But you have to ask them to define those words because they don't mean the same thing that you and I mean when we use those terms. They use the same vocabulary, but they do not use the same dictionary, right? So if you hear the word gospel or you hear the word sin or salvation, Jesus, whatever, just ask them, what do you mean by sin? Let them define their terms. And then I try to gently correct them, show them what the Bible teaches about those terms that they're using. And don't feel like you have to, you know, sometimes I think we put way too much pressure on ourselves when we're sharing the gospel. Folks, God's the one that's going to save these people. God's going to do the work. We're just planting a seed. We're just instruments in His hand. So don't feel like the pressure is all on you. The Holy Spirit, I believe, right now is actively convicting Muslims of their sin, judgment, and righteousness is what the Bible tells us. The Father is drawing people to Himself, and what a great honor it is to be a part of that. I mean, just think about that. You're going to step off into eternity someday, and you're going to be like, I remember you. I mean, just try to imagine this. God saves people, but He has invited us to join Him in His work. What a great privilege that is.
Tim, did you do anything about lunch we were talking about in a minute?
I was going to take care of it right now as soon as you're done. You guys wrap No, I like 2 hours.
No.
Praise God. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. And we didn't expect that many people today. So it's about 15 to 20 people. That is what we expected. After this, what we are going to do, we are going to go to the field. We are going to go to a college campus. And you are going to see Muslims doing their dawah, means their preaching. You will see they have set up their tables to evangelize. It is not evangelism. They call it dawah. We are going to go there after this. So I will say little things about me, but I want to make sure that prepare you for that. That's the plan. After lunch, right? Yes. My interaction, so I'm a full-time evangelist. When I began going into the streets, one of the groups that I had the most difficult time with was Muslims. They just come and say, Jesus is not the Son of God. He is just a prophet. He is just a son of Mary. What are you talking about? You are worshiping a man. Wow, this like about 20, 24 years ago, this started. I was asking the Lord, you know, equip me. So the Lord was equipping me since then. And I have said, you know, most Muslims are very peaceful and easy to talk to. But there are exceptions. When it depends on the context. If you are standing in the street, giving out tracts, I have personally experienced hate radiating out of their face. You are not talking anything against them or anything about Muhammad or Islam, but still they don't like you being there presenting Jesus. And one guy told me, so these are the things that I remember. One guy came to me and said, I am going to pray to Allah that something bad is going to happen to you. What did I do wrong? I'm standing there and giving out tracts. That's what I experienced. Not from all people, but these experiences are there. It's, you know, in their literature, it says, we smile with our mouth, but we hate them in our heart. It's an Islamic teaching. So you are going to hear all those things, real stuff, from tomorrow. All right? This is just an introduction. So the Lord called us to be his disciples. And the Lord told us, go and make disciples of all nations. As we heard today, all nations are right here. We have to love them. If you love them, you have to share the good news with them. That's the best way of showing love. How did God show his love? By the gospel message, by the cross. If you do not have that message, you are not loving them. Very important. So we have this opportunity before us. As somebody mentioned, the population is increasing. In Paterson alone, this is the next city here, there are about 30 mosques and Islamic centers just in Paterson alone. More than 30,000 are Muslims just in that city. Of course, the police chief is a Muslim. And some part of Paterson and Clifton, these areas are called Little Palestine, Little Istanbul, and things like that. That's how it is. A lot of people from Palestine, and then that area. And then from Turkey, Bangladesh, and many of them do not know English. So one of our tasks has to be finding a Christian who speaks that language and take them along with you. And if you can go door to door, as we have heard, they are very nice people to talk to. Don't be afraid. Love casts out fear. Go there. They are very nice to talk to. Okay, until you hit on some real points, okay? But it's okay. You don't have to hit on that real points right away when you start your conversation. Never do that. Never start with, oh, Muhammad did this. You know, she did that. Never start with that conversation. As we heard, start with something that they enjoy. They enjoy speaking about who? Jesus. Everyone enjoys, actually. Then start with them and just ask them, actually, many of you, showed this interest in how to start a conversation with a Muslim. Just go and say, hello. Oh, are you a Muslim? Sometimes we think it is very rude to ask that question. For them, it is very loving. So understand their culture. So it's okay. Some people are not happy with it, but most Muslims love this question when you ask. They would say, do you know what is their response? They would say, praise be to God. That how much they love it. Alhamdulillah. That's what you will hear from them. So just go and ask them, are you a Muslim? They love it. Then you say, you can ask, were you born as a Muslim? You can ask this question. Maybe about 10%, 5% of people, when I asked them that question, they would say, no, I was a Christian. Oh, I was from this background, that background. About 5%, or maybe less than that, but I have met many. So that is why I asked that question. Were you born in a Muslim family? They say, yeah, yes. Then you say, can I ask you something about you believe, about Jesus? Just ask. Why, when everyone ever born had a human father, have you ever thought about why Jesus had to be born without a human father? You're talking about that virgin birth. They love to talk about it. Then okay, so that, this is what, we will talk about this later. I can go like this, but I will finish it because we have to go to the... Any questions?
Yeah.
This practicing takiyah, I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, is they are allowed to lie and deceive you.
Politicians.
No, it is an Islamic teaching that even you can lie to your spouse.
Yeah. And
Hebrew
takiyah means what?
Eh?
She said it means war.
Takiyah means war? Oh, in Hebrew. Okay. Sorry. Oh, yeah. See, I have a little problem with hearing this. Okay. So this is a teaching. So I have seen people lied to me, many Muslims. And they are not ashamed of it. Even if you call out on them that, you lied to me, they are not ashamed because they are allowed to lie. So you cannot, that is one of the things, I'll talk about it, God willing. One of the things, whatever they say, you have to ask them, can you give me a source? Does the Quran say that? Or I'm just going to give you an example. I say, Jesus taught us to love your enemies. Is there anything like that teaching in Islam, in the Quran? Of course, Quran teaches the same thing. That would be the answer. Then you say, you don't have to say what. You say, where is it? I'm interested. I'm a person, wants to go to the source. Okay. Somewhere, they will never find it. Because they can make any claim, because it doesn't matter what claim they are making, because they can lie. That's why you want to make sure you are asking for source, where does it say in the Quran? Or if they say hadith, where does it say in the hadith? There are a lot of them. The best thing you can do is maybe about 80 different translations. Hilali Khan, I would say one I would recommend, but still, if I remember correctly, what you can do, if you go to Quran.com, there the Quran is there in Arabic, and you can pick English, then you can pick any English translation. When you read something, if you are not sure whether it is what it says, because in their translation they have lied, they have added words, okay, and phrases. Therefore, you go to the Arabic word and click on it, or hover your mouse on it, it will tell you the meaning. So there is no perfect translation, because some translators really added. For example, Quran chapter 4, verse 34, speaking about, if you fear rebellion in your women, you know, set them apart, advise them, set them apart, and beat them. Strike them. This is what Quran actually says. But many translations doesn't say that. Instead of saying strike them, they will say, beat or strike them lightly, they added the word lightly. Or some Muslims would say, it means, you know, you use miswak, toothpick, so use gently, you know, touch with a toothpick. You have heard of, none of you heard of this before? You have heard it. So make sure that they are not lying by asking them, or you go into the source. We will give you all the source where you can find it. You don't have to buy anything. It's everything out there. Yes. Nothing. Because in fact, Allah is the best of deceivers. Chapter 3, 54, chapter 8, 30. He is the best of deceivers. That's why Umar is saying, the next guy, one of the caliphs saying, even if one of my foot is inside paradise, I still fear the deception of Allah. Means whether I am in paradise or not. And that's why none of these, no Muslim have the assurance that they would be in heaven. In Jannah, they call Jannah. No assurance, because they don't know. Or you can ask this question, talking about that subject. They believe that Allah deceived people, thinking that Jesus died on the cross when Jesus did not in fact die. So in their theology, Allah basically deceived all the people about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So if Allah deceived all his followers at 2,000 years ago, all his disciples of Jesus, we can ask the question, how do you know you are not being deceived by Allah right now? It's crazy when you study Islam. And it's easy to refute Islam. Once you have the basic things about Islam, it's very easy. If the scholar comes, imam comes, they just walk away. Once they know, you know the stuff. It happened yesterday with us. I was talking to the student leader. He came, like, I was talking to a few, Muslim girls. They were doing dawah on a table. I was talking to them. Nice talk. This guy came, and started interfering because he didn't want me to talk to them. Then he came up with argument. I was refuting. Then finally he said, I have to pray. I have to go. This is their technique, another technique. When they do not have any answer, they say, I have to pray. It's like, oh, my mom is calling, you know. So I said, you can pray later. Stay here. Then he came back. He didn't come back. Then I approached him after his prayer. He didn't want to talk to me. Any other question? Yeah.
Do they believe in salvation?
They believe in salvation?
By works.
By doing good deeds. If their main belief is that if your good deeds are more than your bad deeds, you get to heaven. That's all now. Unless you become a martyr. That's why many people are ready to kill others. That's guaranteed. Guaranteed for you, and 70 of your relatives also will be guaranteed. You can intercede if a person get killed or, you know, committing terrorism or killing other people in the name of Allah. He is going to get at least 72 virgins there. Not only that, he can intercede for 70 of his relatives, close relatives. He can say, Allah, bring them in also. So that is why their family can also side with them to become a suicide bomber. It's crazy. You have to understand, once that this theology is there, you know, and they say, we do it for Allah. But they do not know who Allah is. Just like Jesus was speaking to Samaritan woman. You do not know who you worship. We know who we worship. They do not know who Allah is. They only know a name. Allah never even spoken to Muhammad. Same time they claim that Allah spoke to Moses. And they, yes. Yeah, I have. Some of his experiences he had when he would receive revelation is more like epilepsy was happening. Then these run-on things in the Quran, of course, we can attribute to that. Yeah. Even he himself, you know, thought that he is possessed with something evil. He himself. And others recognize that too. That is why I ask Muslims, why do you trust Muhammad, this one man, for your eternity? Because you don't know this. Everything about Islam is coming from one man. And in their Sharia law court, you need four witnesses, real eyewitnesses, to accuse somebody for rape. Four. If you need four witnesses for an earthly matter, how many more you should need for the heavenly things? But they have only one witness, Muhammad. And they say, no. We believe in all the prophets. We follow all the prophets. And he say, no, I don't think so. You only believe what Muhammad said about other prophets. Again, you are taking the testimony of one man. So, I'll show you, I will give you all the references and everything, okay? yeah, go ahead.
Going back to the salvation aspect and the absolution of sin, can you give us a little bit more insight to what Hajj means to them and being able to wipe away their sins by going to Hajj and doing their pilgrimage to the Kaaba, and then what they feel as the ability
You know, all these things, when they go to the Kaaba, they can add a lot of points by doing certain things for Allah. Especially, actually, the black stone there, even though it is not a black stone, it is only small pebbles there, you know. That black stone has the ability to take their sins, absorb their sins. Whoever goes around that, their sins will be forgiven. I'm going to give you all the references like that. So it's about what they do. Even the five pillars of Islam, what are they? It's all about what they do. Say something. Shahada. Say there is no God but, you know, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Then pray five times. They do not know, most Muslims do not know what they are praying. It's not prayer. It's just reciting something and bound towards Kaaba. So they are praying five times, like this, it has to be this way, say this. Then the third one is giving charity. The fourth one is Hajj, you know, going to Mecca. And the fifth one, okay, the sequence, it doesn't matter. The fifth one is Ramadan, feasting. We already heard it. It's not fasting. They consume double the amount of food during Ramadan time. Okay? They only changed their time of eating. Rather than eating during the day, they are doing hoarding food at night. And this is the fundamental thing about Islam. Five things. In these five things, there is nothing about faith. Nothing about belief system, nothing about believing, nothing about repentance, nothing about leading a holy life, nothing about faith. It's all doing. Man's approach to God. Okay, pardon?
Yeah,
right. It's good. So, thank you. You let me know. Well, you can, go ahead.
So, does your approach change, how many interactions with, Sunni Muslims versus, because I know there's, Quran only Muslims versus, Muslims that believe in the Hadith?
Yeah. Yeah, my approach changes based on what they believe. They say Quran only Muslim, they lost it. Quran even doesn't tell you how many times they have to pray. They pray five times. Quran doesn't say you have to pray. If five pillars is so important, why it is absent from the Quran? You can ask that question. Where is Shahada in that way in the Quran? You will not find it. You need Hadith. Or in order to understand Quran, when it says Muhammad, who is Muhammad in the Quran? Who is he? Where was he born? Who is his dad? Who is his mom? Where he lived? Who is he? Sometimes it's just a prophet. Prophet, who is that talking about? There is no context. Well, you can take one example, Surah 17, verse 1. There it says, I took my servant from the near mosque to the farthest mosque. And you can ask them, who is it talking about? They cannot say, they believe that it is about Muhammad. But if Quran only people cannot practice Islam. You just ask question. Whatever you practice, tell me where is in the Quran. How do you know this is? Or even you can ask, where does it say angel Gabriel spoke to Muhammad? Where does it say in the Quran? Hadith. If they believe in Hadith, then you go to the places where you can slowly depend. You know, you don't do this first time. You know, maybe the second interaction. Or ask, you know, some people are very okay with receiving some hard stuff on Islam. To that people, you can ask them, do you really believe that marrying a 6-year-old child, a 53-year-old man marrying a 6-year-old child is a good moral example to the world? Just ask that question. But you should not start with that, okay? Slowly, you can say, this is why I don't think it is from... So you have to have a reason why you do not believe Islam is from God. You know, we can defend our faith. You know, Jesus died for our sins. You know, this is the Bible. As long as they believe that Quran is from God and Muhammad is a prophet, last and final prophet of God, they are not going to listen to you. Why should they? So you have to poke holes in their belief system and make them doubt. Most of the Muslims came out of Islam because of that. Unless, yeah, actually from that doubt, Jesus would appear to them. Many Muslims came like that way. And other way is like really going polemics. We will talk about that later. Polemics, right? Ask them reasons for their faith rather than always defending your faith. We should defend our faith. We should know how to defend why we believe what we believe. We should. But with Muslims, you have to ask them for the reason why they believe in a nice way, loving way. And it's easy for either they stop talking to you after one or two times, or they will become a follower of Jesus. One of these two things will happen. It's amazing. When I go to college campuses, I have seen many students from Christian background converted to Islam. Do you know how? Because they lie about everything. I don't have the two Quran. Maybe next time I will have Friday, Sunday, you know, Saturday, we will have the breakers section. I will have two Qurans and I'll show you. They are taught this lie that, oh, Christians have all these versions, but we have only one version of Quran. And for fast 1400 years, it is preserved word to word, letter to letter, meaning to meaning, dot to dot, even to a dot, preserved. Every Quran will be identical. This is what they will sell to the people who are knowledgeable. Ah, then Christians will, wow, yeah, you are right. We have many versions. Yeah, you are right. Well, it's just the opposite. Whenever a Muslim tells you something, it would be, most of the time, it would be exactly the opposite. They say peace, right? Islam means peace. It's just the opposite. When they say a lie, it is most of the time it would be the truth when they say it is a lie. You may be surprised, but that is when they say a truth, that this is the truth. Most of the time, it will be a lie. You know, we have the truth. Stand for Jesus. You know, you don't be thinking that, oh, I don't know everything about Islam. You don't have to know everything about Islam. I didn't know everything about Islam, but I still began to speak to them. No, you don't have to. If you didn't know, say they asked you some question, you say, oh, yeah, nobody asked me that question before. Can I get back to you? That's it. You don't have to take it like personally. You know, we should not be in a proud way. We can say, I don't know the answer. Yeah, that's a good question. But same time, ask them, can you get back to me also about the question I asked? Sure. A lot of Muslims promised me, I'm going to send you the verse which says, you know, loving your enemies in the Quran. You know, I'm going to send you, or I'm going to send you this. I'm going to definitely send you. No. I had many experiences with, I was at Berkeley, UC Berkeley, California. This Arabic teacher, I had a big sign, okay? I saw this Arabic teacher, female. She came to me and started talking. I said, okay, I would like to know. We had a conversation. Then she said, I am too busy now. After the class, I have time. If you can come there, I will meet you there. I took down my sign and I went there and waited. She never showed up. I had many experiences like that. So they can really literally lie to you. Be careful. Don't sacrifice yourself in that way. But love them. Because our God is God of love. That's why he had to become a human. That is the reason they reject the truth, because of the love. There is no love in the Quran. Wherever love is absent, God is absent. This is what is absent in Islam. You have to understand. Everything is about, it will not be about, they trust in the mercy of Allah. Oh, Allah is so merciful, so merciful. They never say love of Allah. We trust in the love of Allah. Because Allah is not loving. There is one of the 99 names have something to do with love, but they will not see Allah's loving. No. Like a master, as we heard, slave master. But we, children, we obey him because we are his children. He loved us first, therefore we love him. Love begets love. He loved us. There is nothing like that in Islam. So we have to have compassion on them and approach that way. And I will share a story about a student. She was interested in Islam in her middle school. She became a Muslim. I think she was from a Baptist background, African American. And then I met her 2 weeks ago in North Carolina, Greensboro. Everything covered up. I asked her this question, oh, were you born in a Muslim? Oh, are you a Muslim? Yeah, I'm a Muslim. Were you born in a Muslim family? No, I am not. I was not. Then I asked them, oh, I would love to know what made you become a Muslim. Am I missing something? I would love to know. Then she told me, we had a good conversation. I will leave the suspense for tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Saturday. You will see her also. You see, I basically used, questioned or showed her the things which are wrong with Islam. And showed her that Islam cannot be from God. I will ask her the question, do you think this God has given us freedom to believe in him or not? Every Muslim I have spoken to, they would say, yes, God has given us freedom. So if there is a forcing, it is coming from Satan, right? Yes, it is only Satan forces us. Allah has given us freedom. Then you go to the places in Islam, in the sources, which forces people to be a Muslim and become a Muslim. Then I asked the question, do you think this is from God? So, an approach from that. We'll discuss that. It's I love to talk to Muslims. But very hard sometimes. We experience that. Today, you may experience it, some of them. We are going to, Pastor, you want to announce that or? Where we are going, everybody have that, the information? Oh, okay. So I'm going to give you the address where we are going to evangelize. We will be going to Rutgers University, College Avenue campus in New Brunswick. And we can be there for however time you want to. Yeah. So the address is this, 126 College Avenue, New Brunswick, 08901. Or in the Google, you can just say, you know, College Avenue Campus, New Brunswick. Student Center. Records Student Center at College Avenue Campus. Yes, yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah, yeah. So what you are going to experience there is they have taken a whole block and they are doing their evangelism. I call it, it's not evangelism, but I, in order for our purpose, they are doing their propagation of Islam for this whole week, starting from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They have big booth, one booth, and inside that tent, a tent, inside that lot of tables speaking about Islam. Students come and, you know, they get free stuff, they get free food. They come and they are explaining about Islam, how nice, good Islam is. And we worship only one God. We don't associate anyone with God. That's the lie too, okay? Everything they say is lie. Then they have two tables outside the tent. One for boys, another for girls. So this is what you are going to see. Depending on your level, you can try to interact. And there will be, I would say, about 50 to 100 Muslim students all over that place. So you don't have to go to the table to talk. You can go to Muslim students who are standing around. How many of us, our churches or our students are there doing this? You see, even for this event at this many, I'm glad this many showed up. But if we have the truth, why don't we stand for the truth? You know, it's very pathetic, Pastor. You know, we were discussing this. It's all right. We don't want. That's a public university, so sometimes maybe they will say, "Oh no, no, no! This is our area. This area." You can say this is a public sidewalk. It's a public university. I'm a U.S. citizen. Yeah.
Is there a particular reason why they're having this kind of event this week? Is there any significance to that?
This, the reason, I don't think there is, I didn't ask them that question. I have the pictures and everything. I asked them, they said this is for whole week happening. And in other places also it is happening, not same week, in different week. They will have different imams, scholars come and talk at the university for every day for the whole week. They are doing their evangelism. They are converting people. They know their method is working. Their method is working. You know, I witnessed to many students, and one of the guy is a, right? I think he is a convert. Sorry to say, he's an American person. He's a convert, but he is just standing for Islam. It is working for them. That's why they are doing it. Once they get the enough population believing in Islam, then your freedom will be gone. You cannot do your evangelism. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Correct.
That's why they're there to influence these students.
Yeah.
You walk right past this and practically ignore this. They want to influence these students because they know that these people are going to be influential in the future. That's why they do. That's why we have to turn our attention to the
universities. That's a good point. That's why, by the grace of God, my focus is on university campuses, because that's the future generation. Next America is coming from there. But that's what they are focusing also, universities.
And prisons.
Prisons, yeah, of course. Prisons and universities, that is two areas they focus. Yeah. Is it time? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Correct. Yes. I think, I don't know. My experience is most of these Christian student clubs, they don't really do evangelism. Okay. Handing out. So whatever they can do, it's fine. You know, I am saying they're not really doing evangelism. Then, ready? Yes. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity you have given us. You picked each one of us to be here. Lord, as we spend a few days in this event, continue to speak to us and empower us in every way, especially with your power, your spirit, your wisdom that is from above. Help us to be filled with your love and your joy, your truth, to present you wherever we are, Lord. We pray for the food that you are giving us. Bless the food and let us eat and be nourished so that we can live for you, Lord. Bless this church and pastor and whoever is behind the food. Bless them also, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.